Blog Talk Radio.
Edwards, and this is the Ron and Don program coming to you from the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. It is a beautiful evening here in the metropolitan area of the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. Mr. Allman will not be with us this evening, but we continue to maintain the uninterrupted program of Ron and Don, if you will. This has been a turbulent day in the United States. It really started yesterday when Attorney General Jeff Sessions gave testimony before a Senate Select Committee looking at a multiplicity of problems, primarily the Russian probe and et cetera, the firing of former FBI Director James Comey, and et cetera. But there have been issues all across the United States, if you will. Yesterday, there were a number of shootings, police officers being wounded, shot and killed, if you will. Police chief of a small town just about 90 miles northwest of Little Rock, Arkansas. Shooting in Texas, if you will. Shootings in Florida on the coast. But today, the eruption was startling. We have been saying here on this program that America is a very fragile nation and has been for quite some time, actually starting with the early part of 2016 and the formal announcement by then candidate, now President Barack Obama. This is a country that is being ripped apart by a level of volatility in which some of the deep wounds, deep secrets, actually, we need to be extremely clear and concise, that goes with a nation that has for far too long existed and prospered in many respects based on its bias, its prejudices, if you will, its hatreds, and et cetera. Now, there are many good soldiers out there who work hard and do everything they can to bring about a atmosphere, an environment, a doctrine, if you will, a manifesto, if you will, of fairness, if you will, of love and respect and et cetera. There are almost an equal number of demons, those who maintain that anger, hatred, bigotry, bias, murder, treachery, conspiracy, obstruction is the order of the day. That is not a healthy society, a healthy nation, if you will. And we've talked about that particularly when we are doing the direct broadcasting here in the Twin Cities, Minneapolis, and St. Paul. And we have been saying to you, our listening audience, both on the radio, on our television program here in the Twin Cities and in our newspaper column, that it is a dangerous pattern that has emerged. The level of anger that exists amongst a multiplicity of groups is certainly not healthy for a nation, if you will, particularly a nation that has as much as this nation has to offer to her citizens and to those that come to these shores expecting a better life, a better opportunity. Expecting that there will be success. And many find out that because of their race and their religion, that there is a very dark standard that is very prevalent in this United States of America. There has always been much discussion, particularly even before the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863. There were different groups, if you will, be they the Quakers, if you will, good Christians, who tried to talk in terms of a nation doing right by all of its citizens. And after the Emancipation Proclamation of 1863, when the Negro population was told that God Almighty, we are free at last, kind of thing. Of course, as a historian, I and others know that that's not true, not factual, if you will. There was a book printed about a decade ago by a editor of the Wall Street Journal, a man by the name of Mr. Blackwell, if you will. He was stationed in Atlanta, Georgia. Book entitled Slavery by Another Name. We show it periodically on our television program here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, Black Focus. It is a difficult book to find, to come by, if you will. It is almost as difficult as the award-winning book of The Man Who Cried I Am by John A. Williams, which we oftentimes make reference to because it is so compelling and so deep in examining, quote-unquote, the activities that go on in this country under the name and the guise, quote-unquote, of white privilege, white opportunity, quote-unquote, and white survival. Though the survival part should be incorporated to us, the sons and daughters of the African, because we are the ones that have for clearly over 400 years have struggled to stay alive, not only to be relevant, but not to have significant and effective acts of genocidal activities carried out against us, bringing about our demise and end. And so when we saw early this morning, as we watched the news break of a shooting on a ball field in Alexandria, Virginia, as members of the Republican Party, both in the Senate and the House of Representatives, were preparing for a benefit game that brings in a lot of money, everyone maintains and confirms, for the needy families, the poor, if you will, primarily in the inner cities and in around the Washington, D.C. area, if you will, there around the Potomac and et cetera. And the game itself has been going on for 100 years, but it has really taken on a kind of a popularity in the last 7 or 8 years, if you will, as the Democrats and the Republicans in the legislature, if you will, set aside, or the Congress has set aside their differences for an evening of fun and games. The children, the young people love it, and the fundraising is extremely successful. So early this morning, probably around 6, a little after 6, a group of Republicans journeyed from Washington, just across the Potomac from Alexandria, Virginia, to get some practice in. They do take the game seriously. I've watched for a couple years some of the reporting that has been done on it, and it is quite clear that the Republicans enjoy it, if you will. The Democrats enjoy it, and I don't know what the season's total is. Some say it's pretty much even. The Republicans win a couple years in a row, the Democrats win, if you will, but everyone enjoys it. And it is a game, a American tradition, which allows for some relief to the tensions that exist within the capital, the beltway, as they say, but particularly the Congress of the United States. But some of that was fractured this morning by a man who, by all standards, would fit the description of an extremist right-winger, if you will, somebody that is very sympathetic to the extreme right, to the white supremacists, and et cetera. But this man from Bellevue, Illinois, down, way down in the southern part of Illinois, if you will, which really has very conservative country, the gentleman who apparently had been in the Washington, D.C. area for about 2 months, he had disappeared from his home and his wife in Bellevue, a lovely home there, a nice home, very neat, and et cetera, as we all saw in the mid-hours of today, Wednesday, if you will. And it is quite clear that gunmen had planned with great preparation, and only by fate, if you will, did we not see a total and absolute massacre that could have changed the configuration of the House of Representatives and possibly even the United States Senate, because both congressmen and senators from the Republican Party were on the ball field kind of wrapping up and finishing up and et cetera for the game that we do understand here in Minnesota will be played tomorrow night somewhere in the Washington, D.C. area. But it was fate that preserved the lives of individuals, fathers who had their sons with them, who were enjoying the activities, if you will, watching their fathers take on the game of the youth of America, if you will, a beautiful summer day there in the D.C. area. If the gunman had have gone other side of the field and came in through the first base gate, he very well could have inflicted serious fatalities and et cetera. But it was the courage of Capitol Police officers, if you will, who engaged the gunman in at least 2.5 minute to 3 minute gun battle. We have been listening and reviewing the tapes of someone who had their cell phone with them. We counted at least 80 shots, 80, in the gunfire and et cetera. And if your ear is attuned, you can tell what is basically a handgun and what is basically an AK-47, which the perpetrator who has died, as President Donald Trump announced in an address to the nation, in which the president did stay on task, if you will, with regards to what was happening. But it is quite clear that this event has shaken the foundation of the governance of this nation, if you will, the Congress of the United States. The House had a special gathering, if you will. Speaker Ryan, Minority Leader Pelosi, if you will, said words of encouragement, words of strength to their colleagues and to the nation. And we must be fair. The President of the United States, Donald Trump, who basically is off task so much that it's just a almost guarantee, if you will, an expectation, did hold the line and did sound presidential. Now, later he got a little carried away when someone said that the gunman was a supporter of Senator Sanders. Senator Sanders took to the floor of the United States and denounced anyone involved in the kind of action that this gunman from Bellevue, Illinois, was in fact involved in. But a couple of hours later, way on the other side of this nation, on the West Coast, in a place called San Francisco, in a very large facility that houses UPS, if you will, one of America's glowing industries and companies and et cetera, the gentleman came to work. He had his UPS uniform on, and everyone knows the UPS uniform, if you will. Came to work, sat in a meeting, preparing for, you know, same day activities, deliveries, and et cetera, and then he opened fire, killing 3 of his colleagues, who it appears that he must have singled them out and then as a large contingent of SWAT team and law enforcement stormed the building, and except for the individual took his life. Now, because of the attack on the congressman, if you will, at the ball field in Alexandria, Virginia, the American press was already strung out, if you will, as they also tried to watch what was happening in the continued Russian probe. We have said on these programs on a number of occasions, we've also said it on our television program here, we said it in our column in the oldest African-American newspaper here in the state of Minnesota, that a lot of news and a lot of information that should be provided to those of you in the general public is being ignored, being suppressed, maybe not intentionally, if you will, but is being suppressed because folks are so involved, if you will. It is almost like a fad, like a culture of wanting to do the Donald Trump watch, if you will. Of course, Donald Trump is very in the president of the United States. No one can predict what he will do, ask James Comey, if you will. In fact, in the last 4 days, there's been rumors that the special counsel, if you will, Mr. Mueller, who everybody says is greatly respected and loved and et cetera, was going to be fired by the president because the president does not like the direction that the Russian probe is going. As we have said continuously on this program, the happiest man on the face of the planet is Vladimir Putin, head of the Russians, if you will. He and his generals and KGB operatives and associates and et cetera must do a toast with vodka every night in the Kremlin with regards to the chaos that they have created. And by the way, rather interesting that in this morning's edition of the paper, which would have been probably the number two or three headline, if not for the carnage in Alexandria, Virginia, and San Francisco, California, and other places, if you will, including our own Twin Cities, which we'll be talking on and talking about the second half of tonight's program. If it had not been for that, there would have been much discussion about the fact that everybody is fessing up now, and this is really kind of startling, and we actually said it. Television program, which we taped last night here in the Twin Cities, which airs on Sunday, and that is that the Russians, who, by the way, with the full both arrogance but also sense of power, because they have nuclear bombs too, just like the United States, so everybody can blow everybody off the map, that the Russians hacked in to 39 states. During the election of 2016, and particularly the election day of November 8th, 2016, the Russians hacked into 39 state elections, which would include the federal election. Now, on our television program here in the Twin Cities, which will air Sunday, we pointed out, though there had been rumors that there had been a significant penetration by the Russians, but no one was talking about or delivering. But we had come across and intercepted a story which was suppressed 7 days ago, and that was that the Russians had hacked into the largest voting machine company in the United States of America, that they had hacked into all of their systems, including how to work with and operate voting machines, if you will, which may begin to explain the 3 million difference of voters voting for Hillary Clinton, but apparently the votes got pushed over to the extent that a significant number of states, particularly three, who all reported lastly, which was interesting, back on November the 8th, 2016, and that was Wisconsin, if you will, who has an interesting governor, Michigan, which was in the throes of a fierce battle between Democrats and Republicans, and Pennsylvania, in which, interestingly enough, a very significant black vote in and around Philadelphia and in and around Pittsburgh seemed to kind of evaporate, if you will, as it pertains to carrying the state of Pennsylvania and the state of Michigan, because Michigan has a heavy concentration of African Americans in the major urban centers, such as Detroit, if you will, such as Flint, Saginaw, but Grand Rapids, if you will, Lansing and East Lansing, and et cetera. And now what is being talked about are the very questionable vote tallies in those cities. In the case of Wisconsin, there seemed to be significant tampering with the very, very large African-American vote in Milwaukee, which could have possibly neutralized, quote-unquote, Republican votes in the northern part of Wisconsin, and et cetera. Of course, we are right next door here in Minnesota to Wisconsin. In fact, there was clearly tampering here in our own state of Minnesota. Our major newspapers have declined to examine really with detail and specificity of the vote count and what happened. But where it was telling in this state was the closeness of the race between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton on what we call here the Iron Range, which is northern and primarily northern Minnesota, in which has been a bedrock of Democratic support and response and et cetera for years and years and years. And yet, actually, Hillary Clinton lost that particular area. In fact, the only place that Hillary Clinton really prevailed here in the state of Minnesota was in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, which has acquired a very significant number of persons of color, particularly immigrants and particularly as Hispanic, Latinos, and some others, and et cetera. So it was interesting when we came across about 6 days, 7 days ago, this report that indicated that there had been this first penetration and hacking into the company, the largest company in the United States of America that makes voting machines. And so we did some quick analysis. We talked to fellow associates and et cetera around the country. Some quick analysis were done. We have a certain operational facility in the western part of the United States, if you will. And it was quite clear that there is something very wrong, began to make sense. Well, lo and behold, as we said, in today's edition of a number of papers, including the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the major paper, along with the St. Paul Pioneer Press and the Duluth Herald Tribune here in the state of Minnesota, is that 39 states, 39 American states were penetrated, if you will, were hacked into. And you know what that means, my friends. It means that the Russians, already having tapped in to the operational protocol of these voting machines and et cetera, had with their brilliance, if you will, the Russians and the Chinese are extremely gifted and proficient, if you will, in doing that art, if you will, of hacking and et cetera. And it is quite clear that something did happen. And we are, like some journalists, we are privy to the fact that in the closed sessions, the Senate and the House Intelligence Committees, if you will, and particularly those committees where members sit, like, let's say, on the Intelligence Committee and on the Armed Forces Committee, if you will, and even maybe the Judiciary Committee, that they are receiving information that something a whole lot more devastating than is what is being admitted happened in the election of November 8th, 2016. For those of you that are saying, that's some hogwash, that's some fake news, and et cetera, no. Go back, get your little computer, particularly those of you that are so dependent on your computers. And by the way, one of the things that came up in the hearing yesterday involving Attorney General Jeff Sessions, former Grand Dragon of the Ku Klux Klan in Alabama as a young white man, if you will, was that the Russians have perfected a grid system, a network system using satellites, which are now able, as they did in the Ukraine, are able to now shut down a significant part of the American electrical grid, if you will. You know, it means shut off the lights, stop the subways, trains, if you will, shut down flight patterns into airports, and shut down a whole lot of other things. Also can shut down the media, if you will. And that the Russians are preparing to make an initial hit in 2018 in the mid-elections, getting a better feel, but doing what they call some mock-ups, if you will, and et cetera. And that the Russian intelligence community has told their leader, Vladimir Putin, and the Politburo, that by 2020, they will be able to create absolute chaos as it pertains to the American system. And one of the reasons is that there were elements within the American government that some way or another convinced former President Barack Obama that cyber war was not something that we needed to really look at that point of his 8 years as President of the United States. Well, it appears now that that was a mistake politically, militarily, scientifically, and et cetera. And so yesterday in the testimony by Attorney General Jeff Sessions of Alabama, one of the things that he said, and it was John McCain, the senior senator out of Arizona, Republican, if you will, a man who sometimes surprises you, who actually I thought did some of the most probing and most effective examinations of Jeff Sessions, who lied through his teeth. I mean, it was quite clear, but he was there to save his job and to quote-unquote prove his loyalty. You know, James Comey made that mistake. You know, didn't say that I'm going to be loyal to you, emperor, king, potentate, whatever you wanted to call it. So Jeff Sessions yesterday in his 2-hour and about 15-minute testimony went to great lengths to talk in terms of his reputation, integrity, and et cetera. In fact, I thought he was going to start crying there at some point as he talked in terms of 35 years of dedication and service to the United States of America, blah, 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 blah. You know, 30s, as they were moving against nations, as they were preparing to take control of Europe, it started in Czechoslovakia, if you will. It enhanced itself in Poland, if you will. And then they started playing games on the British, who still regret the statement by Prime Minister Chamberlain, you know, that I have signed an agreement here in Munich and we will have peace in our time, if you will. Well, it took over 100 million lives in the Second World War to realize that the Germans had hoodwinked them and everybody else. Japanese didn't do a bad job either. The Japanese had perfected a system in which they basically challenged you to prove that the Japanese were doing any kind of covert operations and etc. and preparing for war. Well, Jeff Sessions kind of reminded me of both, and I know he would cringe to know that a black commentator has identified him as, you know, somebody who reflects a strategy and a relationship with the little yellow man of Japan, of Nippon, if you will. But that's what he did. But I say all this to talk in terms of the shocking piece as we reach the 9 o'clock hour here and daylight saving times in the Midwest. When Jeff Sessions, I assume a reasonably intelligent Caucasian, if you will, senator of the United States Senate, if you will, former U.S. Attorney for the Southern District of Alabama, if you will, you know, just a grand old country boy, if you will, you know, just kind of reminded you of Elmer Fudd, when he talked about a couple of things that were disturbing. Number one, he maintained that he and the president have never talked about the Russian situation. Now, everybody knows that's a lie. But when he felt he was being squeezed yesterday, he invoked on behalf of the president, without the president after invoking it, privilege, if you will, maintaining that he was not going to answer certain questions by the committee. And you can see that the Democrats and to some degree some of the Republicans were ticked, okay? But the intelligence community had just pulled the same stunt a couple weeks before. When particularly Rosenstein, the deputy attorney general for the United States of America, who selected actually Mr. Mueller to be general counsel and et cetera, used that same tactic with acting FBI Director McKay. The other two individuals, Mr. Brennan and the admiral, if you will, went to great lengths to express outrage and indignation that they would be questioned about their conversations with the imperial emperor, if you will, Donald Trump. And so it was interesting to see yesterday that when Donald Trump's man, if you will, Jeffy Sessions, was asked about what kind of discussions did he and the president have about the Russian situation, the Russian tampering, if you will, the Russian violation of America's sovereignty and et cetera, he said there hadn't been any discussion. And that's where McCain came in, because it was obvious that McCain was ticked off. And McCain and Jeff Sessions had served on one of the select committees of the United States Senate. And I'll be doggone if Senator McCain didn't really rip him apart in a smooth way. As a gentleman, two white gentlemen, you know, playing to the rules and the decorum of the Senate of the United States. And he started saying to Sessions, said, well, you know, did you and the president ever talk about this, 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 and this? Because as a member of the committee, you never had much to say about anything that dealt with Russia. And the expression on the face of Attorney General Sessions was priceless, if you will, for those that understood historically and otherwise what was happening. And what Senator McCain, Republican of Arizona, did was that he called Jeff Sessions out and said, look, boy, you know, you have never been strong against communism. Now, you've been strong against Negroes, if you will. You've been strong against civil rights. God knows you've been strong against civil rights. God knows that you've been strong against Negroes. In fact, there was a particular moment in that session. For those of you that watched it yesterday, that have taped the program and et cetera, go back and take a look at about the last 4 minutes of the testimony of the Attorney General. And the chairman, Senator Barr, had made some kind of statement about an individual named Luther who was supposed to give some kind of testimony, was on the agenda, but had not gotten an opportunity to do so. And Sessions went to talking about what a good guy, you know, Luther was. And, you know, Luther was a big, tall guy, big guy, if you will, and had played at Tulane University, if you will. But Jeff Sessions almost slipped up. He almost made the fatal error that is oftentimes made by segregationists and racists and et cetera. And he started to kind of make a reference to Luther as, you know, a boy that could pound that ball. Now, Luther played basketball. He didn't play baseball. He played basketball. But the Attorney General was in the midst of having to change his speech process and his thought process because he knew he was getting ready to do something and 12 or 13 or 15 million Americans were watching. Now, the reason this was interesting is that I have to hand it to the Attorney General of the United States. He is, again, one of the best filibusters And that was said to him early in the process by the, if you will, as they had said to the intelligence chiefs and also the deputy U.S. the attorney general a couple weeks ago, because the protocol that they have is that the chair and the vice chair get 10 minutes, and then the rest of the senators get 5 minutes, if you will. But the only problem is, and of course a veteran former senator such as Jeff Sessions of Alabama knew the game because he had been there when they were making the rules, and that is that if you ask me a question, if you will, that the length of time it takes me to answer it, I'm taking away the valuable 5 minutes that you have. In other words, if it takes me 45 seconds to ask your 3-second question, that 48 seconds comes off of your 5 minutes, if you will. It was obvious that a couple of the senators, particularly the senator from New Mexico, Heinrich, and the senator from Oregon, if you will, and a very lovely young lady who I think is getting under the skin of the white Republican males, Senator Harris of California. She is a comer, if you will, and it's quite clear because they did the same thing when she put her foot in the behinds of the so-called security intelligence chiefs who were playing the same kind of game of indicating that they were going to make their own rules, if you will. Now, Jeff Sessions did that yesterday. He began to make his own rules, and when some of the sharper senators, including even the chairman, Senator Barr, began to ask him if he could cite the statutory reference that he was talking about, you know, he tried to cite a specific statute, if you will, but it wasn't a statute. And the senator from Oregon, who really gets under their skin, and the senator from California, Senator Harris, reminded the Attorney General of the United States at the top, law enforcement cop, and et cetera, and a person that's going to come down real hard on us black folk over the next number of months as they, quote-unquote, begin to deal with the problems of opiate and drugs and gangs and et cetera in black America. They got a cake for those of y'all that don't think so. Y'all keep on thinking that, okay, because it'll be like the Shoemaker poem for those of you that know your history. You heard the hobnail boots coming, and you didn't pay any attention to it, and then one afternoon you heard them, and you realized that you were the only one left in the building, and you screamed and you hollered, if you will, for someone to protect you, but no one responded because everyone was gone, if you will. So anyways, back to the gentleman from Alabama, if you will, the Attorney General of the United States. He did a beautiful job, really, of filibustering and taking a significant amount of the time that the senators had. And now some of the senators, like Senator Reid, tried to be a gentleman, if you will, and provide decorum and et cetera. The Republicans basically were smirking and laughing, and they got some real bad Republicans on that committee. They got some real racists out of Texas and places like that. But Jeff Sessions lied through his teeth. And what was kind of amusing to an African American, and we should not be embarrassed to indicate when it is that things that white folks say, and we know they're lying, that not only do we know they're lying, but that they are comical, if you will, because they oftentimes feel that they are so gifted, if you will, that they are so much more smarter, more brilliant, more compelling, if you will, more historically knowledgeable and receptive than, quote-unquote, the little colored boy from the South 40, that they do their thing and they just don't understand what some black folks are saying in the back of their minds and even under their breath, if you will. And also, not all African-Americans, the sons and daughters of the African, believe in scraping and bowing and, you know, keeping the eyes down and shuffling and holding our hats and et cetera. There are some black folks, and some of the strongest that I've ever seen in the Congress of the United States, were actually black women. who had been Congress members, starting out with the beloved Barbara Jordan, a Democrat of Texas from Houston, who was one of the most significant principals, if you will, was the person who helped carry, quote-unquote, the battle against Richard Milhouse Nixon that led to, and it was a white gentleman's agreement, that rather than impeach him, to allow him to resign from the presidency of the United States of America, if you will. Barbara Jordan was one of the most powerful. She was an orator, if you will. She was a tall woman, if you will, with a deep baritone voice. But she was a daughter of Texas, if you know what I mean. And history has not respected nor served well the history of Barbara Jordan. And for those of you out there that care about the history of the sons and daughters of the Africans, you need to go back and do a little bit of research, particularly in her role during the Watergate congressional hearing, when they uncovered and stripped Fast Dickie Nixon and his crew, if you will, in one of the great conspiracies. But I think and feel that that conspiracy is going to be outdone by this current administration, because this current administration has committed themselves to treason. See, everybody pretends that we shouldn't even be talking about the word impeachment, if you will, now the real world word that you shouldn't be talking about. I mean, you should be talking about, but you're not talking about. It's treason. Treason has been committed, and in some of those closed sessions, if you will, it is quite clear that some of these senators, most Democrats at this point, but there are some Republicans who are having a terrible time dealing with what they are hearing and what is being conveyed to them, and of course they are allegedly swore to secrecy, but everyone is clear on how the information gets leaked and et cetera. Now, Jeff Sessions and them took an action just about 5 days ago with a young lady, just 25 years old, a former member of the United States Air Force, a very gifted technician and et cetera, who had left the service, went to work as a contractor, if you will, saw a document that she felt, based on her dislike for the current president of the United States, and she leaked it, if you will. And what was interesting that no one is talking about, but all these legal experts that you see on all these cable shows and the Sunday shows and et cetera, is that this young lady was charged with violating certain acts, and she'll be charged with treason. But the courts denied her bail, if you will. And so one has to begin to ask, well, what was the probative significance of the document that she leaked, if you will, to the extent that she is denied bail under the Constitution of the United States? You know, allegedly, the only crime that you are involved in where you're denied bail is murder, but also, a lot of people don't pay any attention to this, is treason, if you will. And so this young lady is languishing now, and Jeff Sessions pointed it out, you know, just a neighboring state to his beloved Alabama in Georgia, and she is being denied bail and probably will not come to trial for maybe a year, even though she's in the federal court system. And so as I watched the Attorney General of the United States, this brilliant, I began to laugh at how pitiful he was. Now, you know, white folks don't like it when black folks, you know, use that kind of reference and term with regards to identifying and evaluating white conduct, if you will. And I never saw a man use the statement, "I don't recall," as much as Jeff Sessions did. Now, this man is the Attorney General of the United States of America, who, by the way, in the course of some aspects of this testimony, he was doing like we used to say on the corner. He was showing off, if you will. He was showing off for the American public who was tuned in. He was showing off for those that were in the gallery. He was showing off for his former colleagues and associates. And he would use terminology, Latin terms, if you will, I'm talking about Latin from the dead language of Latin, if you will, that is so much a part of the configuration of laws and conversations that we have in this country to discuss law, discuss such things as prima facie, if you will, writ of habeas corpus, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm looking at him, and he's early on, before he began to become fatigued and tired, and it was quite clear that his white friends on the committee, even Democrats, began to realize that the old guy was beginning to become fatigued, that he was beginning to lose his intellectual grip with regards to his perceived cleverness and et cetera. But this was a man who uttered the terms, I don't recollect, I don't remember, I don't recall, you know, and et cetera. And there was a moment there, by the way, again, beside the loofah situation in Tulane, where he had changed his story, and I was a little surprised that more of the Democrats on the committee didn't jump him. See, at one point in talking about these meetings that he was having a problem, remember when he was doing his confirmation hearing, he started out by saying, never met with the Russians. He didn't know no Russians. He didn't know what Russia was about. And then somebody identified documentation and film, and which showed that, quote unquote, he wasn't telling the truth, and so he wrote a letter, in which I guess you're allowed to do. If you as a citizen, a poor person, tried to do that in a court of law after being caught up in perjury, the judge would laugh at you and give you an extra 5 years. I mean, that's the way the game works. But in the rules of the privileged, and that's what old Jeff Sessions is, he's a privileged white man, if you will, in a privileged society, if you will, in a privileged culture, if you will, who is able to enjoy all the vestiges of white privilege. And so he, if you remember, sent a letter to the chair of the committee, the Judiciary Committee, and said, oh, my God, said I, a vision, if you will. And I realized that, I did meet with the Russians twice. Now, yesterday, the Mayflower came up. That's a nice white hotel there in Washington, D.C. And there was an event earlier this year. And initially, after the New York Times and the Washington Post, who were playing ping pong with the Trump administration, had indicated that there had been a meeting. Actually, there had been a meeting in a closed room between the Russian ambassador, who is a master spy, master, if you will. He is good, if you will, the Russian ambassador. And Sessions realized after his coat was pulled by the FBI, if you will, that there was footage, because all these hotels now, for purposes of security, et cetera, all these public buildings, et cetera, have cameras. And initially, he had said he had never met with the Russian ambassador, didn't even know he was around, and et cetera. Well, what happened yesterday, and this had really been discussed with Comey in closed session, if you will, is that they had pulled the film, the videos, and et cetera. And, of course, here was a picture of a Russian ambassador coming in the door to this gathering, which was the first public reflection by newly elected President Donald Trump with regards to foreign affairs. And here's the picture of the Russian ambassador coming in, and there's this acknowledgement from Jeff Sessions, the Attorney General, though he had not yet been fully confirmed, and the Russian ambassador. So Jeff Sessions realized that he was in trouble. So they really gave him a pass yesterday, if you will. Again, it's all a part of white privilege, to readjust his recollection. But his recollection still was he didn't remember really knowing that the Russian ambassador, who he has met with a number of times in different locations, had even entered the room, if you will, until, as we said before, though it did not come up yesterday, that there was video of not only is there a video of him and the Russian ambassador acknowledging of each other by head movement, etc. But there was also film of him and the Russian ambassador going into that reception room, if you will, just off to the side of the main ballroom that everyone was gathered. Yes, 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 yes. There was this video, and it is in existence, if you will, but apparently some deal was cut. Some understanding and arrangement was made that the Attorney General would not be confronted with that tape and with he and the Russian ambassador, who he couldn't remember was there, doesn't remember speaking to him, and et cetera, going into the room, because that's where they were discussing the lifting of sanctions, if you will. By the way, I find it amazing, if Barack Obama had been a white president and all sides would have been outraged by the fact that Donald Trump and his as he called them, his proxies, if you will, his assets and et cetera, violated the Constitution when they began to operate as a shadow government, though Barack Obama, by law and Constitution, was still President of the United States prior to the swearing in at noon on the 20th of January, 2017. We repeat that again because that was the role of disgraced three-star General Michael Flynn, the shortest-serving national security advisor in the history of national security advisors as it pertains to the American government. I well remember the report that was leaked in the first week of December of 2016 about the fact that Michael Flynn had taken another trip to meet in the Seychelles Islands, actually, which is there in the middle of the Indian Ocean, kind of in between Africa and India, the Seychelles. Yeah, a lot of meetings down there. In fact, the very people that Donald Trump and them have turned on in the conflict now in the Persian Gulf kind of had actually facilitated and provided all the necessary travel and et cetera to the Seychelles Islands, if you will, for this meeting in which Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, if you will, who sees himself as a new rising, I don't know, you know, a Republican version of John F. Kennedy. I'm just not sure, my friend, because there is so much corruption going on. There is so much danger. But as we begin to move towards the end of this evening's program, we want to reinforce to you in the strongest possible way that there is a level of volatility in this nation, which is not helpful, if you will, and it is certainly not healthy. That is the reason, in closing, that we want to give a shout-out to those who have worked very hard to put on a national conference here, and it will be a national conference, and Stevie Wonder will, in fact, be one of the keynote speakers, and very well, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan could possibly be en route, if you will, and could be also a speaker. Only the negotiations that are going on and et cetera will determine the order of the day. But in light of the violence that is going on in our city, both cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, I am concerned and very uneasy about operations, clandestine operations to create problems that generate violent actions and et cetera. And by the way, we have had three consecutive nights of homicides, which is unusual for a city. This is not Chicago or Detroit or Los Angeles, if you will, or the areas of New York and Manhattan and the islands and et cetera. This is a city of a little over 400,000, and yet just in the last 8 days, we've had six homicides. And in all cases, you know, there don't seem to be any suspects, if you know what I mean. But there are suspects. But the effort to dig and to probe to find out who is really taking the lives of so many young African-Americans and paralyzing so many young African-American women. The last two African-American women who have been shot in this city, though not fatally, have been paralyzed and will be paralyzed for the rest of their natural lives. But again, we applaud those that are attempting to bring together a conversation and reach some understanding and develop solutions to try to deal with the problem of violence in an enclave, not only confined to the city of Minneapolis and St. Paul, but across the nation. Because in some regards, my friends, we are an endangered species, we the sons and daughters of the African. For those that are really interested in hearing the dialogue and the discussion, standing is that at 6 o'clock this coming Friday, it will be a town hall meeting open for our discussion, intelligent discussion, if you will, discussion that respects the opinions and the views of all. And then there will be a full day of program on Saturday starting at 9 in the morning. And there will be the appearance by Stevie Wonder, who not only has provided his presence, but has provided his money, if you will. He always has. He always has done that. I well remember the peace summits in 1992 in Kansas City, Cleveland, and Los Angeles, if you will, where Sharif Willis was in the forefront of putting together a successful effort until it was undermined by federal authorities, cutting the heart out of a movement that, if it had not been tampered with, could probably have saved the lives of 4,000 to 5,000 young African Americans, Latinos, and etc. across this United States of America. Conference will take place. For those that thought that it wouldn't, or did whatever they could, if you will, and have been a part of the violence of the last 8 to 9 days here, you were not successful in regards to how you did it. And in the case of some of you, received a rather significant colored compensation. In fact, some of it was posted on the city's website. Those of you who received money, now talking about that you will have patrols on West Broadway and in North Minneapolis, and these patrols will deal with the violence and etc. It'll be interesting to see what kind of training you have. It'll be interesting to see your reaction when you hear gunfire, if you will. You'll be no different than those political leaders and their children and staffers and etc. early this morning in a place called Alexandria, Virginia, when a single gunman opened up with an AK-47, and if not been for the courageous actions of African-American security personnel, Capitol Police, who exchanged gunfire, though outgunned, fired back and saved and protected the lives of white citizens, white politicians, white Republicans, and etc. God bless them, but also God bless and pray for the recovery of all that were wounded in the shootings in not only Washington, well, Virginia, Alexandria, Virginia, and San Francisco and other places around the country. Appreciate the opportunity to be with you. Hopefully our associate, Mr. Allen, will be with us back with us next week. Again, I'm Ron Edwards. This is the Ron and Don program coming to you from the municipality of Minneapolis and St. Paul. May God continue to have his hand upon the shoulder of Black America. God knows we will need every piece, every bit of strategy and spiritual assistance that we can get. God bless you, Black America. Stay strong. I'm Ron Edwards. This concludes our program.